Here's a dance you should know. When the lights are down low, grab your baby then go. I do the huckabuck, I do the huckabuck. If you don't know how to do it, boy, you're out of luck. Push your baby out, then you hunch your back. Start a little movement in your sacroiliac. Wiggle like a snake, waddle like a duck. That's the way you do it when you do the hucklebuck.
Hey, not now. Bet and Steny will tell you when. Hey, girls, start talking.
Hello.
Hello, people of Earth.
Hello, people of the galaxy.
Hucklebug Nation.
Welcome to the Hucklebug. I am Steny.
And I'm Bet.
We're Bet and Steny. This is episode 732 of the Hucklebug. Welcome.
Yes.
You're in the right place.
You did plop down right in the right place tonight.
Yep, yep. You've found us. Here we are. We have no rips, so we're just going to go straight into your shout-outs. Roar!
Rawr.
And we begin over on hucklebug.com, where we have a shout-out for Tina. Stand in the place where you live. Now leave us a comment.
And Tina we're going says, to say, you start.
I will start and you will pick up. Tina says, hi, ladies. Hope you had a good week. It was all right. How was your week, Bet? Okay.
My week sucked.
Okay. I'm sorry about that.
Well, it's physical stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Every day at work in my office is a fight. Going into work at 9 o'clock and fighting someone until 5, and then you get to go home.
That sucks. All
bloodied and battered.
Yeah, it's no fun. Well, you know what? I've
not
I've had...
to put too fine a point on.
No, I understand though. I understand. I've had certainly had weeks like that and months, in fact, like that.
But I'm okay. I'm here, people.
All right, good. Tina goes on. I made some notes yesterday and now can't remember what some of them was. Well, you've done very well here. You've left us a very detailed comment. She says, you were saying about hen parties here. Yes, they are the same as a bachelorette party, but ours will not be wild, I don't think. But I will let you know the other side. The home hen was lovely. Meal and a boogie.
Ooh.
What was that? You guys went dancing? Did you dance in the home or did you go out dancing somewhere? And then there's an away hen. They're going to have an away hen in Krakow.
Oh, so that's why we saw Krakow, isn't it? Okay.
Yeah.
We thought that might have been spell check.
No, it's Krakow.
Now we know.
We are staying in the old town, have a trip up the river, a jazz club booked, and an excursion to a thermal spa in the mountains. Quite civilized. My goodness. That's quite the hen party.
Sounds like a blast.
It does. It does. And now I'm just waiting for my invitation in the mail. I'll just keep checking my mailbox for it.
And by the way, if she doesn't get one, she'll show up anyway.
I will. I'm going to track down that thermal spa in the mountains, and you will find me there. I will just be there waiting for you. Hello.
Hello. You know me? No. Okay. And then she says, I have not, this is from last week's show.
Yeah.
I have not watched Adolescence, but it has caused a bit of a stir here, as this is a real phenomenon that's going on. And I did read an article about that, Tina, that people wondered if it was an actual true story.
I wondered if it was based on an actual true story.
Which they say it's not. But,
no, but it could right. be anybody.
But boys hating on girls. Mm. The sad thing is that these days, the youngsters can't get their hands on all sorts of stuff from the internet. They think that because curious boys are able to watch a lot of porn, they think this is what relationships are like. Tina, yeah. I cannot tell you how many years of my life that has made me bereft. That kids can watch stuff like this and think that's what relationships are.
Right, yeah.
Sad, really. Terrible knife crime here at the moment, too. Oh,
yeah.
Well, come see us. You'll see again.
Yes, true.
Almost every day you hear of someone being stabbed in school. Frightening, really. I'm glad I'm old. Well,
yeah, I get it. I get it.
And then she says, I can't stand Bonnie Tyler. So I am with you. Read the worst song.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a bad one. And she also says, I laughed at Starship so hard. Agree 100%. So cheesy. Have a good show. Bye for now. Thank you, Tina. We appreciate you. And then we have one more quickie shout out over on our Facebook page.
Yes.
From Doug. We are the Doug. We are the Starcher.
Now, and you take this, but I think both of us might chime in.
We may both chime in. Doug says, regarding our discussion last week of the worst songs of the 1980s, he says, how in all that is holy did Tony Basil and Mickey not make that list? Well, simply because neither Bette nor I think it is anywhere near the worst song of the 80s. It's not the best, but it's not.
It's certainly not the best. I did adore the video when I was growing up.
Yeah.
But when I think of the 80s, I think of the early 80s, like Mickey, when the songs were fun and silly. And then they became bombastic. And that's kind of where I went with mine.
Right.
And I can understand Mickey is one of those one-hit wonder songs that a lot of people hate. So no problem there, Dad.
Yeah, no shade.
But I would never have included it.
Everybody's allowed to dislike whatever they like, whatever they wish to dislike.
As long as we agree with
it. Well, no, you know, now Doug can make his own list of five worst songs of the 80s, and clearly Mickey by Tony Basil will be on it. Yeah, Doug, why don't you give us the rest of your four? Anybody is welcome to chime in with their worst songs of the 80s. Please do. That's it for your shout outs this week. We appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Yay! Thank you.
Woo! And now Bette has a movie.
I have a movie.
I'd like to hear it.
I almost had two movies.
Ooh. Like the old days.
I'll tell you about.
Remember when we'd come into the Hucklebug and we'd be like, I watched five movies this week.
And I'll tell you about it later, but I ended up with one movie. And it's the movie of the season, you know, the flavor of the Oscars. Uh-huh. The one that I have wanted to see. And it finally came to Hulu for free. And it's called, and I have to go to my outline.
Okay.
Because it's called A Complete Unknown.
A Complete Unknown.
That's
A
the
complete
Bob Dylan.
Unknown.
That's the Bob Dylan movie.
Like a rolling stone.
This movie meant so much to me that in the outline, I called it No Direction.
That Bob Dylan movie.
Which, of course, was the Martin Scorsese documentary.
Oh, I did not know that, you know. I did not know that. Well, eventually, somebody will make a movie. Eventually, there will be so many movies about Bob Dylan that every single line from that song will be the title of one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The sequel, like A Complete Unknown.
Exactly.
But anyway, this is the movie where Hollywood's new child sweetheart, Timothy Chalamet,
who can't spell his fucking name correctly.
Yeah. And here is my take on this movie. Very, very glad I watched it. I'm sorry for my voice, people.
Yeah, yeah.
This is just how it is now.
This is just how Bette sounds, you guys. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's an audio podcast. This is how she sounds. This is how it is.
But I'm very glad I watched it because I had wanted to see it. Timothy did a good job as Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you take Timothy Chalamet and give him kind of a little hump on his nose and tease his hair. Uh-huh. And put some Ray-Bans on him.
Yeah, he looks like him.
He cannot but be Bob Dylan. You know?
Well, everybody's real impressed that he learned to sing like him, but I mean, well, that's I don't think that's a big deal.
Well, I kind of do. Yeah. And I don't know.
I just feel like
when he was playing the guitar, if that was actually him or we're listening to something else on the soundtrack.
Sure. Like the kid from, what's that drumming movie with J.K. Simmons?
Oh, Whiplash.
That kid learned to play drums.
He learned.
And that's huge. Yeah. And, yeah. you know, and learning to sing to do a role is great. But Bob Dylan doesn't really sing, does yeah. he? He just is. He's Bob Dylan. He just makes noises.
But, you know, that's kind of the thing for me. You know, folks, I am totally unapologetic. I love me some Bob Dylan.
Oh, okay. Good.
I just think his lyrics, I mean, to say he's a prophet, you would want to kick me in the face, but that's how I feel. With
no,
the lyrics
it's all right.
He
was the voice of his generation, and he is a true poet.
And so it starts in 1961 when he's first coming to New York.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to visit Woody Guthrie, who has right. Huntington's disease in the hospital.
Yeah.
And he meets Pete Seeger, who yeah. is played by Edward Norton. Ooh. And he rocks this role. He Excellent. Is Pete Seeger.
Nice.
And so then it shows, you know, how Bob goes to certain clubs and does this and does that. And then he becomes the Bob Dylan that became famous. And, right. you know, this is the thing I've always thought about Bob. When he caught fire
yeah.
in New York, he was so spoiled by the press. Who uh-huh. just fell all over him.
Right.
Nothing he could do was wrong.
Right.
But because of that, they also expected more of him than he was willing to give.
Right.
And yeah. were ready to say, fuck you, if he
yes.
didn't.
Yes. Oh, there's right. nothing the press love more than building somebody up so that they can tear the fuck down.
Exactly.
Tear them the fuck down. They love
exactly.
that shit.
And, but of course, it ends. It all, the whole story is an arc that culminates at the Newport Folk Festival, where he mm-hmm. goes electric.
Right.
And
boo.
Boo. Well, you know, not boo for me. I love
no, 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 of course, I love it. Yeah, me too. I know,
course,
at the time.
Of course,
time,
I was 4 years old at the yeah. time, so, you know.
Yeah. But I mean, at the time, he got booed off the stage.
Right, he did three songs and got booed off the stage. But yeah. first of all, this movie is very long.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason it's very long is because there are so many clips of Timothy as Bob singing Bob songs.
Yeah.
There's so much that could have been cut from
yeah.
this
yeah.
that wouldn't have hurt the story.
Sure,
at all.
Yeah.
But it also goes on to tell the story of when he was coming up, he had a girlfriend named Sylvie. Mm-hmm. But Sylvie comes to learn very quickly that every time he sings with Joan Baez,
mm.
there's more than singing going on.
Yeah.
Know? So
yeah.
there's that. So Bob does have some vehicle A in this movie, you know.
Okay. All right. So and thumbs up?
Oh. Yeah, thumbs up. Not totally. I love this forever.
Right, sure.
Yeah, thumbs up.
I didn't mean to cut you off, by the way. If you're still talking about it, please do continue. I just thought we'd hit him a pause.
No, I'm fine with it.
Okay. Well, in that case, I have a binge watch. My binge watch, which was recommended here last week by Bette, is Adolescence, which is on Netflix. You guys, it's fucking phenomenal. Everybody needs to see it. So here's the thing. Now, last night, I was like, well, I got to watch Adolescence because I kind of promised you I was going to watch. Mm-hmm. But I was also, you know, I was like, I don't know if I'm in, the, you know, it's, I knew it was going to be heavy. I mean, you compared it to Mike Lee, by the way, brilliant fucking comparison. Very much felt like Mike Lee.
Oh, especially the third episode. My God.
The fourth episode for me. The fourth episode
oh,
for me
well,
felt
the
like
last
it.
Episode,
but yeah, I mean, they all did really. A little, maybe a little bit cleaner than a Mike Lee movie. Like it, yeah. it feels like everybody needs a shower in a Mike Lee movie. And in this one, everybody's relatively clean. But aside from that, it was just very, very much so. To the point that I wondered if they were improvising. But anyway, Mike Lee films are notoriously very heavy, very dark.
Yes.
And I was like, I just want something kind of light and frothy. Oh. Can't I do something? And so I was thinking about not watching it. And then I might have gone to Netflix and read the description. And this was something that you left out. And I know, Bette, that you said you didn't want to tell me too much,
uh-huh.
which was part of what, of course, piqued my curiosity. But you did not mention that each episode is shot in one long continuous take.
Well, I didn't really know how to describe that. But when Stephen Graham was on the Today Show,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't ask him all the questions.
Yeah.
He talked about that he and his partner, that's something that they do. And of course, Craig Melvin, what did he care? He doesn't watch stuff like that. But
right.
Yes, I did know that that was the...
Yeah, and that was actually what kind of tipped the scales, because I thought, oh, wow, that's fascinating. Four episodes, all of them shot in one long continuous take. That sounds astounding. I better check that out. And then I decided that if the subject matter got too heavy, if the content was too heavy, that I could just sit back and marvel at the technical aspect of things, which did help. But I didn't really need to be, because I was drawn into it so quickly and easily. And I think the way they shoot it helps that, because,
well,
and you know, you're right there in the action.
Now that I think about that and what you said about it, uh-huh. the scenes like traveling in the van.
Traveling in the van, exactly.
I guess that is all part and parcel of that.
Yeah, and everything happens in real time also. So yeah. Each episode happens in real time. So the first episode, I think, is 1 hour and 5. The second one, by the way, you said they were all about 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. The first one's 1 hour 5. The second one's about 53. The third one's about 53. And the fourth one, I think, is about 1 hour 15. So it's a solid 4 hours.
So that means it's that good that I thought it was short.
Is that, and it does. It goes fast, but because it's all one continuous take, there's no cuts, there's no pause, there's not even a place where you can go, I really have to pee. Can I just need to pause so I can go pee? But I can't. We're in the middle of a conversation and there's not going to be a break. You know, there's not going to be a break until the episode's over, which is good and bad. But there's only two times, I think, that that I got distracted by the continuous camera take.
Uh-huh.
One is the police. I think I can say this without it being too spoilery.
Okay.
The police are chasing someone, and that someone jumps out a window, and the cops follow him, and the camera follows too. And I'm like, how'd the cameraman get out the window?
Yes.
How?
I remember that scene. Yes.
And then there's another episode that ends with like a crane shot that goes really high in the air. And I'm like, what the fuck? How did the camera get up in the air? And then I had to watch a behind the scenes thing afterwards to see how they did all of those shots. But the acting is absolutely phenomenal.
I know. And it's
Owen
as
Cooper.
As much as I love Stephen Graham.
Yeah.
The woman that played his wife.
Yes.
His mother,
she's excellent. The daughter.
The daughter is. Just,
all around. Everybody.
And all of them in
out of
this.
The
and like I said, we'll say nothing about it, but in this situation
right.
that people live in when
right.
something like this happens.
And this is the other thing, because it's all shot in one take, then, or, so I don't know if you know this, so the way they shot it was, so they rehearsed every, they did each episode, they rehearsed with the actors for 1 week, and then they rehearsed with the actors and the camera for the second week, and then in the third week, each day, they shot the episode twice. So Monday they shot it twice, Tuesday they shot it twice, Wednesday, etc. 5 days a week. So and then they chose the best one to be the episode. You know,
oh.
and I think what happened is if something went wrong, they just kept going. and the first episode they shot, Bet, was the third episode with the psychiatrist. So that little boy, Owen Cooper, who had never acted in anything in his entire
life. This was it for him.
This was it for him. And he started with that episode, with that third
episode. Oh, my God.
It's just, it's astounding. He's extraordinary. He was so
yes.
good. Everybody was. And he's phenomenal and he's just a little boy. But also... All the kids in episode 2, excellent. Also, I mean, they have much smaller roles, but they're all so good.
What? Yes, yeah. Just everything about it just
yeah
works.
It's, yeah, and it's It's so good. And so, yeah, I just have to echo that.
And it's a hard watch, people. It really is a hard watch.
But it is a hard watch, but I do recommend going ahead and binging the whole thing. Binging it from start to finish is a great way to do it, I think. If you can manage it, if it doesn't start to feel too icky, maybe you have to take a break.
You know, last year when Oppenheimer won the Oscar for Best Movie, and my take on Oppenheimer was it should have been a mini series cut into four parts. This movie should have, this show should have been a movie condensed into all of that, that we could just sit there and, you know.
Well, I'm happy with it being four episodes of a TV show because you know me, I would never go see a 4-hour movie, even though I have no problem binge watching a 4-hour show.
It knew what it was. It knew what it was. It wasn't trying to be fancy.
Right, exactly. And I did like the way they split the episodes up. So episode one is, you know, the booking process. Episode two, the police are doing an investigation. Episode three is we spend some time with Jamie and see what he's doing. And then episode four is we catch up with his family and see what his family's been doing for the last year. And it's, God, it's so good. It is so good. And it didn't, well, I did have a little trouble falling asleep because I was thinking about it a lot, but it is just excellent. Everybody has to, well, I don't want to say everybody has to see it, but everybody, I recommend it highly.
No, everyone has to see it. Send us your passes showing that you've seen this movie.
Everybody show us, everybody, please, by next week, everybody please submit your proof that you've watched Adolescence and that you love it as much as us.
Oh, of course, we're joking.
Phenomenal. Thumbs up. Big thumbs up for Adolescence. You. I can't imagine.
I'm so happy that you felt like I felt.
Big front runner already for Binge Watch of the Year, for sure.
Let me just go to Ask Reddit. All right. I do have a watch, not a binge watch, just something that's on TV. It's every week.
Oh, okay.
This happens. But I want to talk about my Ask Reddit.
All right, well, let's jump into your Ask Reddit then. I'm all right with that.
Actually, I found out yesterday from PeopleMagazine.com.
Okay. Oh, that's right.
Where there's an article and you're thinking, oh, this is an article about something that someone did.
No, they just stole it off Reddit.
Ask Reddit.
So. Yeah, they just stole it off Reddit. I didn't know people was doing that now. But there's a lot of website aggregators that just draw stuff from Reddit.
But when I read it,
that's where it came from.
Folks, I thought about something. I thought about Taylor and Allison and their wonderful rehearsal dinner that we had so much fun at. Mm-hmm. But this is Ask Reddit.
Right.
From a bride. And you know, brides can be difficult.
They can be, yes, sometimes.
But so can mother-in-laws.
That's true.
Okay.
So can grooms, by the way, and so can father-in-laws, grooms, let's just say. Right. Fathers-in-law.
But she says, my future mother-in-law, it's in italics, insists that our rehearsal dinner, which she calls the groom's dinner, is meant to celebrate the groom. My fiance has already explained to her it is about spending time with our closest family and friends, expressing our gratitude, and practicing for the ceremony.
Yeah.
Despite this, she brought it up again today and asked if she should set up pictures of my fiance at the dinner. Oh, Mom. When I gently reminded her that the dinner is not a celebration of the groom that the pictures were not necessary, she became visibly frustrated and insisted that some people do, in fact, have a groom's dinner specifically to honor the groom.
Well, some people do, but that's not what this is.
I was caught off guard and honestly do not know whether to address it further or just let it go.
I would let go.
I do not want this to become a bigger issue, but I also do not want to keep having the same conversation.
Right.
What should I do?
All right. Well, I personally say let it go. Let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go. Let your husband-to-be deal with it.
Well, that's my number one.
Yeah.
Get the husband back in.
That's his job. This is his job. That's the groom. You know what? The groom's main fucking job at a wedding is keeping his mom under control.
On a leash.
Exactly. That is exactly it. That's your main gig.
But most of the answers came in the way that I was thinking. Of course, I'm the luckiest person in the world that I have a family that all gets along.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the rehearsal dinner is to celebrate the people in the wedding.
Yeah.
It's not for the groom. It's the people who are doing this for you.
Maybe there is some tradition where there is a groom's dinner. I don't know what that is.
Well,
perhaps. And that should be a separate thing. But the rehearsal dinner
should be
for the
folks that
are in the wedding.
In the traditional days, and, you know, everything changes now.
Right.
But in the traditional days, the bride's family paid for the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And the groom's family paid for the rehearsal dinner.
Yes,
so
I have
maybe
heard
she's
that.
Thinking this is the groom's dinner because we're paying for it.
I mean, that part I hadn't heard of, but
yes.
I mean, whatever. Again, get your husband to.
And I can remember when my wonderful sis and Brentwood Law got married, the rehearsal dinner. We didn't go out somewhere. It was at his mom's house, Joe Beals. And boy, the spread sheep. I mean, you know, when you see those watermelons cut into baskets.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, she had one of those. It was great.
That's great. I've been to two rehearsal dinners. Both of them were for my sister's weddings. The first one was at the Black Horse Inn in Mendham, New Jersey, that's our big fancy place in town.
Oh.
And it's been there since it was built in the 1600s. It's been there forever.
I love it. Yes. Gotta love it.
And I'd never been there before. So it was great. I'm like, oh my God, I'm finally going to the Black Horse Inn. I've only been here trick or treating when I was a little kid. and it was the members of the wedding party.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it's the bride and groom, and it was all the groomsmen and the bridesmaids and the maid of honor and the, you know, and then the immediate family.
Yeah. And now we have our very own Tina getting ready to have a wedding.
That's right.
Do you all do that over there?
Maybe they do it differently too in England. We don't know.
You have the bride and groom dinner?
I don't know. All right.
And you know, it's funny to me that the mother-in-law would think that this is the groom's dinner. Because after the wedding, the dinner is not for the bride. It's for the bride
and groom.
Exactly. So why should the groom get a dinner all to himself?
Well, he does at his stag party. That's
right.
What that's for, you know. So, I mean, I don't know. Crazy. Listeners, what do you guys think? I've never heard of a groom's dinner. I mean, I've only heard of a groom's dinner in terms of the groom and his best man and his groomsmen maybe all go have a thing, which is a bit like a stag party. But other than that, no, I don't know anything about a groom's dinner. Not like this, not like a rehearsal dinner where everybody's there and it's just to celebrate the groom. That's nutty. I don't mean that the groom shouldn't be celebrated. Of course, the groom should be. But,
yeah,
you know, in conjunction with the bride.
You know,
yeah, exactly. They're both getting married. All right, now, Bet, you have to tell me what's next, because all I know of is I have two things left.
That's right. Well, go ahead and do watch your phraseology.
Let me do my phraseology real quick. It's short anyway, because nobody actually knows the answer to it. It's
okay.
One of those ones
that
nobody knows. But the phrase I was thinking of is the phrase, it's neither here nor there.
Oh.
Because I've always wondered, if something
there.
Is neither here nor there, then
where
the fuck
is it?
You know? If it's not here and it's not there, then where is it?
It just means we don't know.
We just don't know. It's of no consequence one way or the other. And so I looked it up, and the origin, it's been wrongly attributed for a long time to William Shakespeare because it's in Othello. And then, but then someone found a translation. Oh, we're out of time. Someone found a. I know. Did yours go off?
Yes, I
didn't hear it, but.
Oh.
All right. Well, good. It works. All right. Your new timer works.
Yes.
Good deal. Anyway, so it's not actually from Shakespeare. It's a 16th century phrase often wrongly attributed to William Shakespeare. The first use of it in print that anybody can find is in Arthur Golding's translation of the Sermons of John Calvin upon Deuteronomy in 1583. And the quote is, "True it is that our so doing is neither here nor there, as they say, in respect of God." As they say is in parentheses, which means that it was a common phrase in 1583, and he just tossed it into his sermon. But all this makes me wonder is all these phrases that Shakespeare's so famous for inventing, I wonder how many of them are just things that people were saying then that never were written down until he put it in a play. Or maybe was written down in other plays long before him that never survived, you know? So that's all. That's all I have for neither here nor there. Should I do my pet story
go
as well?
Go ahead, do your pet story.
All right, and then we'll do you rules, and we'll get the heck out of here.
Yeah.
Meow, 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 meow. I want to hear some pet stories. Meow, meow,
meow, meow. So my pet story this week's about Scout again. Poor little Scout, you guys.
Oh,
Scout,
baby doll.
Jolly Scout baby.
Been very vocal tonight.
She was very vocal earlier, but now she's snoozing. She had to go back to the vet this week, so she's had this limp, which vets heard about for the last couple of weeks. And, you know, finally it got bad enough that I'm like, you know, she's clearly in a lot of pain. I don't want to take her to the vet because that's traumatic for her psychologically. But I also don't want her limping around the house. If she's in real pain, you know, we should probably go see what it is. But I'm also in my head going, God, it's going to be x-rays. There's going to be a lot of shit. This is going to be really expensive. But I took her in. We did not have to have x-rays, fortunately.
Yeah.
You know, she just, you know, palpated. Is that the right word? Just, you know.
Palpated?
You know, she just squeezed her arm up and down, looking for sore places, waiting for Scout to go, ouch, that hurts. But Scout would not dare. She's just looking me in the eye the whole time going, you're fucking dead when I get you at home. She was really giving me the stink eye. But she said, it's very light. She goes, I don't feel any breaks or any fractures. She goes, I don't think it's anything like that. I don't think we need to do x-rays. It's very likely with your cat's age and her weight that it's just arthritis, which she's had before. So they gave her a shot of something called Solensia. And she's got to go back every month. She's going to have to get monthly injections for the rest of her life.
Oh, dear.
Which I don't like at all, you know, and she hates going to the vet. So she's got to go once a month now and get an injection. Thus far, I haven't seen a lot of change. She's still limping around, but they did say it would take a little while before we started to see the effects of it. But here's the key takeaway. The key takeaway is, so it's $90 a month for this, you know, one vial that she's going to get of the painkiller. But bet if she gains even 3 ounces, she goes into the next weight class and she needs 2 vials. So now she's also on a diet, poor baby. So she's just,
pets is so hard.
It is, isn't it? They're like, it's a little alarming.
It's so hard.
It is hard. They said it's a little alarming. Her weight's gone up a pound since February. And I was like, well, yeah, I've been spoiling her because she's sick. Been giving her all the treats and giving her extra food. And they're like, yeah, you can't keep doing that. So I'm like, all right. So she's got to be on a diet. And she's still limping. So it's all a little disturbing. But hopefully in the next week or two, we'll start to see her get a little bit of her mobility back and be a little bit more hopping and jumping and doing her thing. So that's current status with poor Scout.
Yeah, well, my fear is that if she gets back and she's hopping and jumping and doing her thing, then she doesn't want to come around you and mew on the Hucklebug all night.
Mm. Well,
I'm
we'll
afraid
see.
We'll lose her.
I don't think so. I think she's been very interested lately in the Hucklebug.
Okay.
But they just kind of, you know, cats just go through weird phases. They also, it's the same thing with, like, at bedtime. Sometimes they sleep in the bed with me, sometimes they don't. Right now, they both are sleeping in the bed with me, but, you know, we'll go through long stretches of months sometimes where neither of them will sleep in the bed with me. They're like, ah, fuck you. We're going to go sleep in the living room. And I never know what causes it. So, who knows? Let's do our U rules, shall we?
Yeah,
and move
well, first
on with
off,
our
let's say fuck off Donald J.
Trump. Yeah, fuck off Donald Trump.
You fucking and, fuckhead.
And Pete Hegseth and just broadcast. What a dope. What a fucking dope.
Oh, God.
Just broadcasting our war plans. To a journalist, and
yeah.
He's talking about the journalist like he's some big scumbag. I'm like, well, you're the one who put him in your fucking chat, stupid. Why are they even talking about war plans while they're texting? What the fuck is that? Shouldn't they be in the Situation Room?
Oh.
I don't get it.
And you rule the people of Greenland. This is not my you rule, but you rule, I just read it. The people of Greenland who J.D. Vance and his wife are visiting there and they wanted to set up a photo op for her where she would knock on doors and nobody agreed to meet with her.
No, fuck off. One
would answer the door.
They were there for 3 hours and then they left. That was it. That was the grand that was their grand tour of Greenland. 3 hours. And they never left the military base.
But very kindly and nicely. My U-rule this week goes to Mr. Coffee.
Mr. Coffee.
And not the Mr. Coffee pot we used to have. I still have the brew station. But a client of ours whose last name is Coffey, Mr. Coffee.
Okay.
And I met him totally out of the blue back during late summer when he and his family moved here from Oklahoma, bought a really nice house in town. He'd never been with the company I worked for anything. He just said, I need insurance on this house, and I thought I'd call you. Well, normally when that happens, the price is so high, you're almost embarrassed to tell them.
Yeah.
Because it's new, and there's no other lines. But when I told him, he said, oh, that's great. We close on so-and-so date, and so we set everything up over the phone. And he said, now, I may also want auto insurance, but we haven't completely moved all the way. But I'll call you when we do.
And
I kind of forgot about it.
Yeah.
And so this week, only this week, I got a call out of the blue from Mr. Coffee. And he said, now, we seem to be all moved in, and I was wondering if we could get some auto insurance for our family. And I said, of course. And so I figured stuff up and gave him the price. And he said, oh, that's fantastic. And I said, well, you know, you could pay monthly or you could pay all at one time. And he said, oh, I'll pay all at one time.
Ooh.
And I said, we can do this. We can set it up over the phone. I can email you everything you need. And he said, well, actually, I'm going to be in town this morning. And really, I just like to come by and meet you guys because I've really enjoyed dealing with you.
Isn't that nice?
And so within like 45 minutes, in came Mr. Coffee. What a nice man.
Good.
He came right back to me and we did the transaction.
Yeah.
But he got in a conversation with Pat and Melissa. And, you know, our thing when people come here from places like Oklahoma or Colorado or California. We just have to know, how in the hell did you find Bluefield?
Why
and Bluefield? So, you know, while we were doing all the paperwork and I was handing him stuff, I said, I've got to ask you this. And so I asked him. And it turns out that he and his wife have roots in West Virginia. Not Bluefield, but in the area.
Oh, okay.
But he found himself in Oklahoma because he joined the Air Force, and that's where he was stationed.
Okay.
And when he got out of the Air Force, he just stayed there, but then they wanted to come back home. And it was just like old home week. I think he loved us, and we certainly loved him. And, you know, in these days when prices go up and people hate each other, we have to spend so much time getting shit from people at work.
Yeah, I
know. He was such a nice person. Mr. Coffee, you rock just as much as Coffee does.
That's right. Fantastic. It's nice to have a little ray of sunshine occasionally.
Yes, it is.
after, you know, having so many dickheads. I get it. Mayu Rule. I'm giving Mayu Rule this week to North Shore Vet. Because, I bitch about it, but, you know, because it is a lot of goddamn money. They're getting a lot of my money right now.
It is, but they do.
They do great job, and they're so wonderful with her, you know, and she hates going. She just hates going, but they're so kind to her, and they're so nice. Dr. Lee was our vet this week. Sophie Lee, and it said, here's the notes, keep Scout at or under 200 calories per day. Oh. 20 of these calories may be from treats. We'll recheck her weight at her next Solensia injection in 1 month and make adjustments to this plan as needed. Oh, poor Scout.
You know, that was the thing with the animal vet care place I took Milo to. Mm-hmm. It was damned expensive.
Yeah.
But from the whatever vet was on duty to the techs, to the people who went and weighed in.
Yeah, even like the cashiers.
I never for once didn't believe that they loved him.
Yeah, exactly. Same here. Everybody's so kind with her. And every time I go, you know, and I, you know, there's nothing I love more than when like the vet tech comes in and goes, oh, she's so pretty. You know, that's just, that's all you got to do. And I'm like, oh, I know. Isn't she great? I love her too.
She's the best.
You guys rule because you love my cat. They're all very sweet there, you know. And I think when I brought her in, one of the little old ladies who I think she might be a volunteer actually.
Oh.
She was like, can I see your cat? So she like comes and like,
now that's sweet.
She like looked in the basket to check her out, you know, the little carrier to check her out. But she came and said hello to all of the dogs in the waiting room as well. Came and, may I pet? You know, and went around to each dog and petted each dog. I mean, I just love it. You know, they make you feel at home there. So that's good since we're going to be going once a month. It's just as well that we're on good terms, I guess. Anyway, so that's Mayu Rule. Guys, that's our show. That's episode 732.
We got a show.
And that's our show. We go next time, it'll be April. The next time you hear from us, it'll be April. The year's flying by already.
It is.
We're second quarter. We're going into second quarter. Here we go.
Ooh.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening to The Hucklebug. Till next time, I'm Stenny.
And I'm Bet.
We're Bet and Stenny, and you've been listening to The Hucklebug. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. We love you.
Bye.
That's the way you do it when you do The Hucklebug.
That's what I would do if I were a murderer.
If I were a murderer.
Awesome.